A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. Isn't it beautiful the words the father said? All that I have, come on, is thine. And this is God the Father. He's telling us tonight, all that I have is thine. Of course, through Jesus Christ. Good evening, everyone. God is good. And all the time, was God good to you today? Yes, he was very, very good to me today, and I thank him ceaselessly for his uninterrupted blessings in my life. I really thank God, and I say publicly again, all the good things in my life have come from God. All my problems I brought on myself, but don't tell anyone. And I want you to know that God has never done anything wrong to me. I can't count the wrong things I've done to him. He has never done anything wrong to me. And I'm grateful to God for sparing me up to this point. And I recommit my life to him right now for one purpose, to declare, Thus saith the Lord, even if it means loss of life. I have actually asked God, if you ever observe that I'm about to deliberately preach truth, preach error, take me. Just kill me. If I'm about to slip and go preach rubbish, kill me. Don't let me live to preach error and mislead people and prep them for hell. If I cannot preach the truth, just take me out. That's my prayer to him. And so I have to be careful that I preach, thus saith the Lord. You had a good day. We thank God for that. A little chilly today. Am I right? But I've never seen a chilly dead man. Are you following me? You have to be alive to feel chilly. Come on, somebody say amen. So we thank God we can feel cold. You know, when I'm shoveling snow up in Michigan, I literally pray as I shovel. I shovel like this. Father, I thank you. I have the strength to shovel this thing. No, I really do. Every year, people die of heart attacks shoveling snow. Mm-hmm. It's hot when the snow is wet. You don't know what wet snow is, but when the snow is wet, it's twice as heavy. And you're sweating, it's cold, and you have six layers of clothes, and they're not working. Ah. But I thank God I am physically able to shovel that snow. Mm-hmm. I walk back into the house. I usually shovel my snow very early in the morning when no one else is out. When I wake up in the morning, my driveway is clean. Everybody else's is covered in snow. But I really thank God for the ability to feel cold and to feel hot. I welcome those of you online. God bless you for your faithful attendance. I really mean that sincerely. Wherever you are, may the Lord stretch his elastic hand to reach you and to bless you in the precise area of your need. God knows everything, and he knows precisely what you need. Our subject for this evening, that's what we do. What did I say? That's what we do. It is 7:14. I'll release you by 8 or before. Before I get into that message, please make sure you preserve your good record of reverencing God by making sure this thing does not ring, or anything else that can potentially ring. Mine is off. I'm grateful for technology, but God didn't give us the wisdom to make these things to disturb him. Favor number two, while I'm speaking, pray for me and say, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9 says what? Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words. Say amen for that man. And you can do the same thing. You really can. You just didn't try. But I know you can. Yes, I want God to put his words in my mouth. And I hope my friends online, you're also offering that prayer for me. The more prayer, the more power. The Bible says, 5 of you will put 1,000 to flight. 10 of you will put 10,000 to flight. The more prayer, the more power. Because it is easy for a human being to slip into self-exaltation. Are you following me? And to express his opinions, because all our opinions we love, even though most of them are useless. And so I want to speak only God's words. Favor number three, what's that? Think. You took too long to answer. Favor number three, what's that? Think. What's the text I use? Isaiah 1:18. What's the first part of that text? Come now. Come on. Let us reason together. I long for the day when I can look at God. Revelation 22:4. And they shall see his face. And his name shall be in their forehead. I want to see this God who was willing to reason with me. Come down and listen to my complaints, as unreasonable as they always are. And listen. And then gently guide me to common sense. So I want to see God, I really do. You can get so wrapped up in this world that heaven seems like science fiction. But it's not. If anything is real, it's the coming of Christ to destroy the sinful earth and remake it. I mean remake it. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we come into your presence recognizing you as the sovereign of the universe and beyond. We thank you, dear God, it is your will that we come to this place to worship. We've come to worship in spirit and in truth. Father in heaven, we ask you immediately, if we've sinned against you, forgive us, dear God. Cleanse us in the blood of your Son, that divine detergent. Remove the deepest stains, Father, and make us clean. I humble myself before you, dear God, and I ask you to use me. I offer no resistance. Put your words in my mouth, your thoughts in my mind, the humility of Jesus Christ in my heart. Bless those listening. Make the words clear to them, dear God, both in this building and online. And when those listen to the recorded version that are archived, bless them also with understanding. Bless all those with COVID-19 with healing, Father. And Father, I mean 100% healing. For other aches and pains, act according to your will, Father. If you will not heal, bring significant improvement, God, because you do not like suffering. And on the point of suffering, Father, right now, dear God, right now, under every heading of human suffering, deliver someone. Right now, begin with members of the household of faith. Right now, dear God, bring someone out of prison who is innocent. You're a God of justice, you're not a God of injustice. Bring someone out. Begin with members of the household of faith. Dear God, keep your eye over this world, I pray. Guide this government, all the governments represented by those who are listening. Hasten your coming when we will go home with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen. Our subject, that's what we do. 7:18. I am talking to two groups tonight. And the original message I had, the Spirit told me to change. Here are the two groups. I am talking to believers who have found themselves in very, very difficult situations. Three groups. I am talking to believers who have drifted from God. And I'm talking to unbelievers who cannot accept the fact there is a God that loves them and can change this circumstance. I am sure there's someone listening to me now. You are in a circumstance that is claustrophobic. You're almost suffocating with an atmosphere of helplessness and hopelessness. You're in a cell with high walls. You see no way out. There is a God that can change your situation. Somebody say amen. There's someone who's gone so far from God, the person will not believe that God can reach him or her where that person is and bring that person back. There's a God who can do that, as he brought back that prodigal son who went off into a far country. Or there's a believer still walking with God, but you found yourself in a situation that is depressing you, that is threatening to weaken your faith, and from time to time causes you to question whether God is aware of what you're going through. Is he blessing others and not blessing you? Go with me to Isaiah 61. Let's read verse 1, our subject. That's what we do. Isaiah 61, reading verse 1. I love hearing the pages of a Bible turning in church. Amen. It's a dying sound, but I love hearing it. Do you have Isaiah 61? We'll read verse 1. I read from the King James Version of the Bible. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim what? Liberance to the... Now finish that verse if you have the King James Version. Okay, let's say today, opening of what? The prison house, come on, to them that are bound. Now, one of the missions of Jesus was to bring people out of prison. I'm not referring to Sing Sing and Alcatraz. That's not the worst form of imprisonment. There are people in prison who are free because they've accepted Christ. Are you following me? Are you following me? They have that deep freedom. They've accepted Christ. I mean that imprisonment from which only God can deliver you. Christ came, opening of the prison house to them that are bound. Go to Isaiah 42. Let's read verse 7. Another expression of the mission of Jesus Christ. You have Isaiah 42, verse 7, read with me, to open what? Blind eyes, that's a form of imprisonment. To bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. That's a repetition. One of the missions of Christ was to bring people out of prison. Why was that necessary? For someone who is God and man to carry out that mission, let us go to Isaiah 14. Our subject, that's what we do. Isaiah 14, we read from verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which is weakened the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall look upon thee and narrowly consider thee, saying, is this the man that did what? Made the earth to tremble. That did do what? Shake kingdoms. And that made the world as a wilderness. Finish verse 17 for me. Say it again. That did what? Yes, but the last part of 17. Open not the house, come on, of his prisoners. Satan is a warden that lets nobody out. He does not open the house of his prisoners. Jesus came to find a way to arrange a jailbreak through faith in him. Now go to Matthew 12. Matthew 12. It makes no difference what your circumstances are, how you're bound. Jesus Christ can bring you out. He can break you free. But it has to be done his way. And the surrender must be total. Matthew 12. Let's read verse 29. Or else, how can one enter into a home, a strong man's house, and spoil his goods, except he first what? Bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. The word spoil means to take away someone else's possessions. One army fights another, then you spoil the country that's defeated. How can one enter into a strong man's house? That strong man is Satan. And spoil his goods. His goods are people. Except he first bind the strong man, restrain him, then he will spoil his house. Christ was talking about himself. Because he had just spoiled Satan's house. Let's go to verse 22. And the word spoil is to take away. Verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. Pause. The word is possessed. Then to whom did the man belong? Satan. That was Satan's spoil. Are you with me? Christ comes now to spoil by taking away. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? When the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Now Jesus had broken into Satan's kingdom. He had broken into Satan's house and delivered that man who was brought to him in verse 22 of Matthew 12. The verse says, then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil. Not simply bothered. Christians are bothered by the devil. Jesus was bothered by the devil. Being bothered by the devil is not being possessed. When you possess, someone else controls the mind. This man was possessed. He was the property of Satan. And Jesus broke into Satan's house and delivered that man. Jesus said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Verse 26. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I by the Spirit cast out devils, by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Then Jesus says, or else, how can one enter if I don't do it by the Spirit? What power do I have to bind that strong man and take away his captives? Jesus' mission, whoever's listening to me, as you reflect on your present circumstances and you see the hopelessness, there's someone called Jesus whose ongoing mission is to deliver people from bondage. If you're not a follower of Christ, you're caught up in sin, and you think there's no way out, there's someone called Jesus who specializes in delivering people. You know, the United States has the Navy SEALs. And they're sent sometimes to deliver people who are captured by rebels. Mm-hmm. It's amazing the success level they have. How they do what they do, I don't know. But they go in unseen, unheard, even though people may know they're coming. They go in unseen, get rid of the rebels, deliver people. It's amazing how they do that. Jesus Christ is God's seal. And he was sent, and is still on that mission, to deliver people. He came to set the captive free. There is no condition that you're in, my friend, from which God cannot deliver you. He desires to deliver you. We see God as harsh. Let me tell you something about God and how earnestly he wants to deliver you and me and whoever else may be bound. Go to John 6. John 6. It's 7:28. Our subject, that's what we do. John 6. Let's read verse 38 of John 6. Do you have that? Let me pray again. Father, continue to be with me, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Speak through me. Defend me from the evil one right in this desk. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You have John 6:38? Read with me. What does that say? For I came down from heaven, what, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now, Jesus says, virtually, whatever I do, it's not mine. The Father sent me to do it. Which means, the Father sent him to deliver captives. I don't think you get what I'm trying to say, but listen. Jesus healed Jairus' daughter. Are you following me? He healed the widow of Nain's boy. The funeral procession came out of the city. The mother was bent over in grief. Jesus raised that boy. Did more than heal him, he raised him. He healed the lepers. He fed the hungry. He opened the eyes of the blind. 10 of them in Luke chapter 17. The Father sent him to do that. We see Jesus as nice and sweet, and he is. Say amen for Jesus. Amen. Don't misunderstand me. He died on that cross. The Father sent him to die. When Jesus stilled the storm, the Father told him to still that storm. When he raised Lazarus, the Father told every good thing Jesus did, the Father told him to do it. This was the Father's work in Jesus. The Father doesn't get much love. All the love goes to Jesus. The Father doesn't mind too much, I don't think, because if Jesus is loved, he's loved. That's the way it works. Those who honor the Son, they honor me. When Jesus delivered demon-possessed people, it was at the Father's request and by the power of the Father working through the Holy Spirit. Because the Father and Jesus can say to you and to me tonight, that's what we do. We deliver people. We heal. He is my agent. I authorize it. That's what we do, my son and I. We are specialists in changing people's lives. We are specialists in healing and reconstructing the broken. When God told Abraham he'd have a son, Abraham fell down laughing. In Genesis 17. The Bible says in verse 17 of Genesis 17, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Can you imagine someone laughing at God? You know, you fall down laughing. And God didn't kill him. Yeah. In chapter 18, Sarah fell down laughing in the tent. When Sarah laughed, God said to Abraham in Genesis 18:14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Our problem is not so much our circumstance. Our problem, tell me, lack of faith. We just don't believe. Jesus said, come to me. Bring your labors and your burdens. I'll give you rest. We look at the burden. This is too big. So we try to carry it. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. 1 Peter 5 verse 7. Casting all your cares upon him. Why? He careth for you. There's a God in heaven who's looking down now, and he's dying and itching and willing and waiting and wanting to deliver someone who will come to him through Jesus Christ in simple faith. Like that man in Mark chapter 9 who brought this epileptic boy to the disciples. They could not heal him. And Jesus said, he said to Jesus, if thou canst do anything, have compassion upon us and help us. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to those who believe. The man said, Lord, with tears in his eyes, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. What did he mean by that? This is all the faith I have. So you've got to match it. You know matching funds? You give a dollar, somebody gives 100. God says to you and to me, bring that, and I'll match it. Because your faith alone can't do it. You bring whatever little faith you have, I will match it. And so the Father said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Now I said, when you say that, you cannot be lost. This is all the faith I have. You know, God is a very fair and honest God. Looking for a... Let us say, forgive me for bowing down. Let's say this is a cup. You bring this to God. Father, I believe. He fills this to the brim. Somebody else brings him that. Are you with me? Father, I believe. He fills this. Now, God fills what you bring. Nobody's listening to me. I'm talking to myself. Are you listening to me? He fills what you bring. Too many of us, we keep bringing symbols to God and asking God to fill it with a mountain. God said, you want a mountain? Bring something that can accommodate a mountain. Bring me something like that. God fills whatever we bring. What am I trying to say? Your circumstance, however intimidating it may be for you, it is not for God. That person listening to me who's caught up in sin, you just cannot break pornography. God can break it in you. Say amen more loudly. Amen. You just cannot break away from gambling. God can break you out of it. But you've got to come to him and make a surrender that is 100%. You can't stop whatever it is you're doing, smoking, crack, whatever it is. You come to Christ. And it is the work of Christ to deliver you. It is your work to surrender. It is his work to deliver you. There's a believer who's drifted from God. Like the young boy, he took his journey into a far country. No one knew where he was. They couldn't reach him. And there, wasted his substance with riotous living. You have drifted so far from God that you've begun to believe that God cannot bring. You cannot come back. This is contrary to thus saith the Lord. Wherefore he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. What is the uttermost? As far down as you fall, Christ can lift you up. As far to the left or to the right that you may drift and stray, Christ can reach you. Wherefore he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. There is no circumstance, my listening friend, that God cannot manage for you if you will come to him and give your life to him. The mission of Jesus Christ was to deliver those who are bound and trapped and caught. And that deliverance can begin tonight for someone who's listening to me, whether in this building or online, if you will exercise whatever little faith you have and say, Lord, help me. Go to Matthew 14. Our subject, That's what we do. The Father and the Son, what is it they do? They deliver people. That's what we do, the Father and the Son says to us tonight. Matthew 14, in this chapter, Peter sees Christ walking on the water. And when he identifies Christ as being Christ, he said, "Bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." Verse 29. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to do what? Go to Jesus. Matthew 14, 29. Do you have that? But when he saw the wind boisterous, he did what? And he began to what? Sink. Mm-hmm. And he cried out and said what? Lord, three words. Mm-hmm. Lord, save me, if you have the King James Version. Three words. But all his soul, all his being, every mitochondrion, every nerve cell was in that cry. But what is the first word of the next text, or the second word? Immediately. Jesus did what? Stretched forth his hand and caught him. There's someone falling tonight. Cry to Jesus. He will stretch forth his hand and catch you. This is not a difficult thing to understand. We're not discussing Greek and Hebrew. We're discussing the fundamentals. Christ will catch you. And when Peter cried, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Go to Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. Let's read verse 13. The two men who went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a publican. You know the Pharisee, the Bible says he stood and prayed thus with himself. Never pray with yourself, pray to God. And after he gave God his resume, his curriculum vitae, cut no ice with God, Jesus went to the poor man, the sinner, the no good, the scum of the earth. That's who the publican was, I repeat. The scum of the earth in the eyes of society back then. The Jews hated publicans. That's why the Pharisees came in Matthew 9. Why doth your master eat with publicans and sinners? Like Samaritans, hated and despised. What did he say in verse 13 of Luke 18? But the publican, standing where? Far off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying what? God, be merciful to me. How many words are those? You have the King James Version. How many words are those? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Seven little words. Read verse 14. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified. You know what justified mean? Made right with God. How long did it take? An instant. You see, in fixing your situation, God starts by fixing you. So you don't recreate it. Are you with me? Our great problem is not situations. Our great problem is us. Are you following me? So God begins by doing something in us. That's where the problems begin. And when that man said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, it's clear that immediately a change took place, and Jesus said he went down to his house justified. Now this was Jesus, who was also God, and he didn't lie. That man was justified. What was he? A publican. What was he? Scum of the earth. But he recognized his condition. He needed help. And he came to the Savior. Or to God. Be merciful to me, a sinner. There's nothing God loves to do more than to show mercy. Give us a break. Show mercy. Go to Micah chapter 7. Micah 7. Old Testament, 7:42. Micah 7. Let's read verse 18. Our subject, that's what we do. And that's a message from the Father and the Son to us. That's what we do. What's that? Deliver. Set free. Save. Repair. Transform. Micah 7:18. What does the Bible say? Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage, he retaineth not his anger forever. Finish the verse. Because he delighteth in mercy. What delights you? Different things delight different people. The Bible says God, it will give God delight to bring you out of your bondage. It will give God delight to give you victory over that sin. It will give God delight to bring order into your confused life as he brought order in creation. He delighteth in mercy. Put a smile on God's face. Give him your life as a task. Let him change it. My listening friend, wherever you are, I don't know why God convicted me to speak this way, to speak on this subject. That's not what I intended to talk about. I want you to know that if you would give your situation to God, he will change it. He'll change you. Then he'll guide you to the change of your circumstance. Because that is why Jesus came, to set the captive free. There is no sin that we need to keep committing. Christ came to deliver us. There's no economic situation that God cannot improve. Somebody say amen. We're living in difficult times. We ought to give God an opportunity to demonstrate his power. God loves to show off. And the only one who has a right to show off is God. Are you following me? God loves to show off. But God's stage is not Madison Square Garden. It's our lives. He likes to show off in our lives that others may see and come to him. That's why he chose the Israelites, that by blessing them when they obeyed him, the other nations might come to them and say, who is your God? It's not who are you, who is your God? Give God an opportunity to show off in your life. Bring him your burden and watch him. But remember what I said, it must be done God's way. So when Jesus says, come unto me, he didn't mean visit me. Am I getting to you? Through. He didn't mean visit me. Because visitors have to do what? Leave. He meant come and stay. Come and surrender. Come and give me all. Come unto me. When you surrender to God 98%, God still has a problem. Because the devil only needs 2%. He only needs 2%. Let me make it worse. When you surrender to God or I 99%, the devil only needs that 1% to cause trouble. The only way God can bless and fix and deliver and save and transform is by a 100% surrender from the person who's afflicted and in trouble. 100% total. He says, God, here I am. Good, says God. Now I can fix you. Stay here. I'm not telling you go to church. I'm saying give your life to Christ. Then Christ will take you to church. Are you with me? Many people join a church first and then go looking for Jesus. You go to Christ. Christ said, upon this rock, I will build my church. So he has a church. You go to him and let him guide you to the church. What's your situation? Don't answer me. Just think. As human beings, we are experts at hiding what's inside. We smile like sunrise. But there's a lot of suffering behind that smile. We keep in a facade that looks like tinsel and that's from Hollywood. But inside is an abandoned house. God doesn't see that facade. He sees inside. Let me tell you something about abandoned house. In all major cities, abandoned houses will eventually be torn down. Am I right? Eventually. Some governments take a long time to do it. Someone can buy that abandoned house. Are you with me? From the city. But what does the city expect you to do when you buy it? Fix it up. And don't take 40 years to fix it up. Fix it up as quickly as possible. To restore it to what condition? Fit for what? Habitation. Are you with me? Make it fit for habitation. When Adam and Eve sinned, this world became an abandoned house. And the wrecking ball of the condemnation of the law was about to hit it. Jesus bought it. Are you with me? To do what? Fix it up. But he doesn't have an eternity to fix it up. He's got to fix it up because the wrecking ball of the law's condemnation still exists. He must fix it up so it becomes fit for habitation by whom? Inhabited by whom? God. But God does more than fix up the abandoned house. He transforms it from the abandoned house into a palace fit for a king. You mean at earthly level, we buy an abandoned house, we fix it up, we call them fixer-uppers. Jesus doesn't have fixer-uppers. He takes a fixer-upper and he makes it a castle. He takes a pig, he makes it an eagle. This world is an abandoned house. Jesus bought it to fix it up, to transform it. The wrecking ball of the law is still there, but it can't be unleashed at this house because Jesus is now the owner and he's in the process of transforming this house to make it fit for divine habitation. Let's forget the world. Your life is an abandoned house. Christ will transform. He can transform your life and make it a life fit for the very presence of God. My listening friend, what are you struggling with? What burden are you carrying quietly, but you cry when no one sees? Or you cry on the inside and no one hears the drip drip of the tears from your heart? Give it to Jesus. I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm asking you to act intelligently. Give that burden. You may ask, how? Just give it. So, Lord, there's nothing I can do. Help me. Here is my burden. And you must go with your burden. God will initiate the process of changing your circumstances. And for that person who's drifted so far from Christ, you think you've gone too far. You haven't gone too far. God can reach you. The very fact you think you've gone too far is evidence the Spirit of God is working on your heart. Like the prodigal son, come back. Come back to the only safe place, and that is the bosom of Jesus Christ. Come back. And for that unbeliever who thinks God doesn't love him, look at Calvary's cross. That took place for you. Listen to me carefully. My friends online, if you were once a believer, you drifted, you left God, you'd like to come back, make the decision right now. Make it here. Make it right now. But make it 100%. If someone in this building, you know, here, you've drifted from God. Every Sabbath you're in church. But you've drifted here. Come back. God has missed you. Come back. Please. Put a smile on God's face and secure your eternal life. Come back to Christ. Let me be bold. Is there someone right in this building? You know you've drifted from God. And you'll say tonight, Father, I'm coming back. Hold my hand. I don't mean you made a mistake. You have drifted. I want to come back. Lord, take my hand. Is there someone like that? At least one, two, you drifted from God. Anyone in this building? You want to say tonight, Father, take my hand, bring me back. Bring me back. God bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ, God bless you. The taking of your hand is happening right now. God bless you. God bless you. Let me pray for both of you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, your daughter, your son. They have honestly stated by upraised hands, they have drifted. Perhaps prayer has declined. Bible study is almost non-existent. Whatever they have been doing, they have drifted. They have admitted that, Father, take their hands now, dear God, and bring them back to the only safe place in this corrupt world, and that is your bosom. Father, let them understand you are a God who does not hold grudges. You're not spiteful. You're too overwhelmed with joy at the return of a sinner to consider revenge and judgment and none of that kind, Father. You're just happy they've come back. Wrap your arms around them, dear God, so tightly that they'll feel the beat of your divine heart. And Father, if there's someone online or in this building still unwilling to make that admission, move upon that person, dear God, with the force of love, because time is short. I offer this prayer from my heart in the name of Jesus. Amen. And there's someone online, you're not a believer, you've got burdens, just say like the publican, God, be merciful to me. I mean, say it. Not with your mouth. Say it with your heart. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you do that, with all of this, your life will begin to change. You yourself will not be able to understand how. And you say it every day. Renew that surrender. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And watch God change your life. And if there's information on the screen about the church you want to let us know somehow. And if the info is not up now, it'll be up tomorrow night. We want to know that decisions have been made for those who've drifted or those who never knew God. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, we thank you that saving people is what you and Jesus do. You're experts at it. You sent him to do it, and he did it for you out of love for us. Your word says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God and the daughters. Father, it is a love we cannot understand. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. That's what you say about us. Jesus tells us it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is his pleasure to forgive. God, please, overwhelm us with your love, I pray. Let us find no satisfaction unless we're at your feet. As we leave tonight, let us leave having recommitted our lives to you. Bring us back tomorrow, dear God, to hear your word again. We pray in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen. God bless you. God bless you. Come back tomorrow if you can, and have a safe and restful sleep.